did it this first last night. I'd like to read it again. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing the middle of the
dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I want to start with this verse, because for the last month or so, I have been jotting down questions from the Word of God that I would like to put forward here tonight. These questions are straight from the Word of God, not from this person here. It is the Word of God that saves. And these questions, if there's one here tonight that is still lost, don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, I just ask that you would seriously consider these verses that I'm going to read tonight. There are 10 of them. They're very important. They're very well-known verses. And so I wish that tonight that you would listen intently to what the Spirit of God is bringing before you tonight. It is a serious thing, you know, to reject the gospel. It is a serious thing to go out of a gospel meeting still lost. It is an insult to God to reject His wonderful offer of mercy. God has, through His beloved Son, offered the very best that His heart of love could give, His very beloved Son, and His precious work on Calvary's cross. So let's start tonight by singing hymn number 13, Man of Sorrows, what a name, for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to proclaim, hallelujah, what a Savior. Someone start it, please. The first question, Genesis chapter 3, the first question that was ever asked in this precious Bible that we have open before us, the Word of God. Genesis chapter 3, verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? That's a question I would ask you tonight. Where art thou? Where are you before God? Where are you? You know what happened here? Adam had sinned in direct disobedience to God. And the Word of God plainly says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Adam was shut out of the Garden of Eden forever because he had sinned against God. God cannot have sin in His presence. But He's provided a way through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, on Calvary's cross. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a God we have. How great is our God. Wonderful. What an awesome God we have. Do you really know this wonderful God? Do you really know Him personally? Thank God I can say that tonight I know Him, and I've known Him for over 50 years, and He has been a wonderful God to me, a wonderful Savior, an all-the-way-home Savior. And God here, because Adam had sinned, He came in the cool of the day, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And He called out, Adam, where are you? What did Adam do? He had sinned. And he was hiding from God. You know, there are many that tonight are hiding from God. Yes, they are. Dear young ones here tonight, little ones, are you hiding from God? Do you know this wonderful God? He's seeking you. You know what I like about this? This was the first gospel meeting that ever went out. Soon as the reign of sin began, the light of mercy dawned on man when God announced the blessed news. God seeking the sinner. You know, he's been seeking the sinner ever since. He wants you to be found. He says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. You know, it's often been said that a seeking sinner and a seeking Savior will always meet. If you're really desirous to seek the Savior, you'll find him. He's looking for you. He wants to save you. He wants to save you right now, tonight. You know what I like about this? Again, I'm going to say this was the first gospel meeting. You know what I like about tonight? This is the final meeting of this conference, and it's a gospel meeting. And it's the last meeting. And I like that. You know, how fitting it is that the last meeting of this lovely conference could be a gospel. Because God in his long-suffering mercy is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he's provided this gospel meeting tonight so that you could be saved. He wants to give you one more chance to be saved. And I've seen that over and over and over again in these last few years, of how an individual was given one more chance to be saved. He's not willing that you should perish. He says, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his evil way and live. And he says, turn ye, for why will ye die? Does God want to send a man to hell? No, he doesn't. The last thing that God wants to do. But God is holy. God is holy. Adam had sinned. You can't get to heaven with all your sins. No, you can't. You can't get to heaven without the work of Christ. The Lord Jesus has gone to Calvary's cross and suffered the untold agonies of Calvary's cross. And I can say that tonight, as it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. He bore all my sins. My sins are all gone. And I can say tonight, by the authority of the precious word of God, that my sins are all gone. It says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. I'm going to repeat it again. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Are your sins all gone? Mine are gone. Thank God. It's all what the Lord Jesus has done for me. He loved me. He gave himself for me. He washed all my sins away, and I'll tell you, there were a lot of them. The very worst sinner. It's sovereign grace that reaches down and picks up an individual like me and saves him. What a God we have. What a wonderful God. A seeking Savior. And so, this was the first gospel meeting. But then, there is another gospel meeting. It's in John 7:37. And it says that in that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. That was the last gospel meeting. And you know, dear one, tonight this might be the last gospel meeting. You might not hear this wonderful message again from the heart of God. No, you might not hear it. If the Lord Jesus would come tonight, it would be too late for you to think that you would be left behind for the judgment of God. And what a world this will be after the church is taken home. I don't want to be here. And thank God I'm not going to be here. And that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, think of the heart of the Lord Jesus there when he spoke those words. If any man thirst. Is there a thirsty person here? I see lots of them. When I'm at home in Vancouver and I'm down in the Skid Row, I see a lot of them. And they've been thirsting, trying to find something that would satisfy their craving, and they don't find it. And they go on and on and on. And sometimes you'll see, well, you won't. You won't see an old person down there. Mostly they're young. He's seeking you tonight. Won't you come to him? Next question. Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Verse 22. Of all the verses, of all the questions that I'm going to bring before you tonight, this is the most important question of them all. Verse 22. Pilate said unto him, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ?" To think that God used an ungodly man by the name of Pilate, who stood before the Lord of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's beloved Son. And he asked this question, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ?" And I'm asking you this question here tonight. What are you going to do about the Lord Jesus Christ? What are you going to do about him? Are you going to accept him as your Savior? Or are you going to reject him? What did Pilate do? We know the story right here. He took a basin and he took water and he washed his hands, symbolic to say that it won't have anything to do with it. And I'm going to take a neutral ground. And that's what he did. And I'm going to tell you tonight that you cannot, it is impossible, take a neutral ground. You must tonight either accept or reject the Lord Jesus Christ. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? I want to tell you tonight, dear friend, tonight, sitting in your seat, little one, big one, whatever, that the Lord Jesus Christ, God's beloved Son, loves you very much. Loves you very much. He saw your need as a guilty, lost sinner, just as he saw mine. And that blessed one, God's beloved Son, went willingly to the cross of Calvary and there suffered on Calvary's cross for your sins. In those long, dark hours on Calvary's cross, when he could cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The Lord Jesus was there, the sin bearer on Calvary's cross. He bore my sins. That blessed one, that love that held him there on that cross alone, forsaken, forsaken of a holy, righteous, sin-hating God. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? Will you answer that question tonight? John's Gospel, chapter 14. John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 5. Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" There's a question. How can we know the way? You know, there's a lot of little ones here tonight. And I'm sure that many little ones here tonight, if I was to come up and down the rows and say, how can you know the way to heaven? Do you know the way to heaven? No, it's written right here in John 14 and 6. The Lord Jesus immediately answered Thomas's question. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way. You know, man tries different ways, but there's only one way to come to the Lord is through the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Only one way. Go back to Matthew chapter 22. Verse 42. What think ye of Christ? What a question. What a question. You ask me that question. What do I think about the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, I'll tell you right away. He's my Savior. He's my Savior. He's the one that saved me. He's the one that saved me 50 years ago. I was a guilty, lost sinner. What do you think about this wonderful person? He is. He's wonderful. Do you know him? Do you know him personally? What do you think about the Lord Jesus? Or do you even think about him at all? You know, as a young man, I never thought about him. But thank God, he touched my heart and saved my soul. What do you think about the Lord Jesus? As I go about, I love to give out tracts, and it's just kind of a little work that the Lord has given me. And he showed me a little place in downtown Atlanta. And I go down there every Wednesday to a place called Five Points. And I'll probably give out about 200 tracts in about an hour, mostly blacks, a lot of business people. And I get them from all walks of life. And I'm so thankful that the Lord has given me this little opportunity to spread his precious word. It's the word of God that saves and ends. And on those tracks is the word of God. And I see many and I talk to many down there. Many have a different way of approach to God, a different way to heaven. There's only one way. You ask them, what do you think about the Lord Jesus? And they say, they shrug their shoulders, I don't know. Sometimes I'll give out, I'll offer a tract to a guy, and he'll say, I'm okay, I'm okay. And it's a very common expression, I'm okay, I'm okay. And he'll walk on and don't take the tract. What does that mean? What does that mean? Does it mean I'm okay, I'm on my way to heaven? Does it mean I'm okay, I'm saved? Or does it mean I just don't want what you got? And I think that's the latter. I'm okay. It's just their way of saying I don't want your tract. I approached a group of people, and there was about four or five of them. And I offered a tract to this person, and he just went down like that on my hand, and the tract fell to the ground. Smack. That is trash! You know, God is going to hold that man responsible for how he dealt with his word. I said, he stomped on it. on that track. I said, sir, can I pick up that track? No. The others that were in the group were kind of aghast at what had happened. They all took a tract. This wonderful law, the Word of God, is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. This is not trash. This is not trash. It's special. It's the Word of God. It's sweet. It's wonderful. Everything about this precious book is wonderful. It tells us all about our precious Savior. And that's what we've been enjoying this week. All about Jesus. All about Jesus. And for all eternity, it's going to be all about Jesus. That wonderful name. That name which is above every name. John's Gospel, chapter 9. John's Gospel, chapter 9. And verse 35. The blind man. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Another question. Do you tonight believe on the Son of God? That's a question. Will you answer it? Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you? Think seriously. Think about it seriously. Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Acts 16. Acts 16, well-known verse. And they said, verse 31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. God didn't ask you to do something complicated to get saved. No, he didn't. He didn't ask you to do something complicated to get saved. This is so simple. Man stumbles over it. The simplicity of the gospel. It's so simple. Just believe. You know, the children, so many times you'll ask them in Sunday school how to be saved. And right away they'll quote this verse. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But wait a minute, children, have you done it? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? You've memorized the verse, you know the verse? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? It's so important. You know, it says in Romans 10 and 9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that simple? I like that. And the songwriter says it only says a simple thing. Believe and live. It only says a simple thing. Believe and live. God offers you salvation tonight. The Lord Jesus is coming. Tomorrow may be too late. I'm going to read a verse. It's Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? So great salvation. Think of that. So great salvation. That great salvation that caused God to give His Son on Calvary's cross so that you might be saved. So great salvation. What does it mean to neglect it? It means maybe to put it off. I'll tell you a little story right now that is happening. Kathy and I have been driving from Atlanta here. About a week ago, the back tire started going down. And every day we put 75 cents in the meter to pump it up. And it still keeps going down. And we put it off, and we put it off, and we put it off. So tomorrow we got to get the tire fixed. And that's the way man does it. He puts off this way of salvation. I might wait till I'm a little older or whatever the case may be, or I'm enjoying things that I just cannot give up. That's neglect. Neglect of God's wonderful salvation. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Now, James chapter 4. James chapter 4. First John, sorry. Verse 13, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get den, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. Do you know where you'll be tomorrow? Do you? I don't know. Then this question, for what is your life? What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then it's gone. What is your life? I'll ask you tonight, so very seriously, dear friend, here tonight, what is your life? What are you going to do about your life? Are you going to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what He wants you to do. Oh, friend, tonight, surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come tonight as a guilty, lost sinner before a holy God. Father, I have sinned against heaven and in Thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called Thy son. That's what the prodigal son said. Long time ago, I was a prodigal, and the Lord saved me. And He can save you, dear friend, tonight. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and is gone. It's a solemn thing to walk out of a gospel meeting still lost. A very solemn thing. God is not mocked. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 7. 1 Peter I got it wrong here. What shall the end be of those that obey not the gospel of God? Where did I lose that? What was that?
Verse 17.
Verse 17, thank you. Okay, thank you. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? For if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? What shall the end be? What a question. Of those that obey not the gospel of God. I'll tell you what your end will be, dear friend, tonight. It will be in the lake of fire. It will be at the great white throne of judgment that you will stand in outer space before a holy, righteous, sin-hating God and to be judged of all your sin and to be cast into the lake of fire forever. Does God want you to that way? No, he doesn't. He wants you to be saved. And that's why there is this gospel meeting tonight, this last gospel. He wants you to be saved, and he's giving you one more chance to be saved. One more chance. Are you going to take this chance tonight? Are you going to say, Lord Jesus, I'm coming. I'm coming. This gospel meeting is just about over. I want to tell you a story. You ever been invited out to dinner? Oh, we've had our wonderful dinners here this weekend. You go to a person's house for supper, and you have a lovely supper, meat, potatoes, gravy, the like of that. And then the host comes and takes your plate, but she says, save your fork. What does she mean by that, save your fork? Well, you know right well, dessert is coming. What's that? Pie, whatever, you know. Dessert, save your fork. There was this girl, she was dying. She was dying of cancer. And she went to her pastor and she said, Pastor, I want you to bury me with a fork in my hand in the casket. And that's what happened. And everybody that went by that casket saw her with a fork in her hand and they said, why? Why has she got that fork in her hand? I'll tell you. Oh, dear friend, here tonight, the dessert is coming. The best is yet to be. The Lord Jesus is coming. We've had this wonderful conference this weekend, this wonderful conference, but you know, the dessert is coming. The best is yet to be. Soon, we're going to hear the shout that it's going to take us out of this scene and into his very presence forever. And I say this to you tonight, dear young people, dear friend here tonight sitting in this audience, are you ready? Are you ready? How can I be ready to have my sins washed away in the precious blood of Christ, to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior, to be able to say, I am saved, I am on my way to heaven. To be able to say that the Lord Jesus is my way, he's my Savior. And I'm going to see him face to face. Dear ones, tonight, dessert is coming. The Lord Jesus is coming. The best is yet to be. This conference has been sweet, but there is something wonderful coming. Are you ready? I am. Shall we thank the Lord? Loving Father, we're so thankful.